you had an encounter with power. The fog, the darkness, the lightning, the thunder and the rain were all part of a great battle of power. You had the luck of a fool. A warrior would give anything to have such a battle. My argument was that the whole event couldn't be a battle of power because it hadn't been real. And what is real? Don Juan asked me very calmly. This, what we're looking at, is real, I said, pointing to the surroundings. But so was the bridge you saw last night, and so was the forest and everything else. But if they were real, where are they now? They're here. If you had enough power, you could call them back. Right now, you can't do that, because you think it's very helpful to keep on doubting and nagging. It isn't, my friend. It isn't. There are worlds upon worlds, right here, in front of us. And they're nothing to laugh at. Last night, if I hadn't grabbed your arm, you would have walked on that bridge whether you wanted to or not. And earlier, I had to protect you from the wind that was seeking you out. What would have happened if you hadn't protected me? Since you don't have enough power, the wind would have made you lose your way, and perhaps even killed you by pushing you into a ravine. But the fog was the real thing last night. Two things could have happened to you in the fog. You could have walked across the bridge to the other side, or you could have fallen to your death. Either would have depended on power. One thing, however, would have been for sure. If I hadn't protected you, you would have had to walk on that bridge regardless of anything. That is the nature of power. As I told you before, it commands you, and yet it is at your command. Last night, for instance, the power would have forced you to walk across the bridge, and then it would have been at your command to sustain you while you were walking. I stopped you because I know you don't have the means to use power, and without power the bridge would have collapsed. Did you see the bridge yourself, Don Juan? No, I just saw power. It may have been anything. Power for you this time was a bridge. I don't know why a bridge. We are most mysterious creatures. Have you ever seen a bridge in the fog, Don Juan? Never. But that's because I'm not like you. I saw other things. My battles of power are very different from yours. What did you see, Don Juan? Can you tell me? I saw my enemies during my first battle of power in the fog. You have no enemies. You don't hate people. I did at that time. I indulged in hating people. I don't do that anymore. I vanquished my hate. But at that time, my hate nearly destroyed me. Your battle of power, on the other hand, was neat. It didn't consume you. You are consuming yourself now with your own crappy thoughts and doubts. That's your way of indulging yourself. The fog was impeccable with you. You have an affinity with it. It gave you a stupendous bridge, and that bridge will be there in the fog from now on. It will reveal itself to you over and over, until someday you'll have to cross it. I strongly recommend that from this day on you don't walk into foggy areas by yourself until you know what you're doing. Power is a very weird affair. In order to have it and command it, one must have power to begin with. It's possible, however, to store it, little by little, until one has enough to sustain oneself in a battle of power. What is a battle of power? What happened to you last night was the beginning of a battle of power. The scenes that you beheld were the seat of power. Someday they'll make sense to you. Those scenes are most meaningful. Can you tell me their meaning yourself, Don Juan? No. Those scenes are your own personal conquests, which you can't share with anyone. But what happened last night was only the beginning. A skirmish. The real battle will take place when you cross that bridge. What's on the other side? Only you will know that. And only you will know what's at the end of that trail through the forest. But all that is something that may or may not happen to you. In order to journey through those unknown trails and bridges, one must have enough power of one's own. What happens if one doesn't have enough power? Death is always waiting, and when the warrior's power wanes, death simply taps him. Thus to venture into the unknown without any power is stupid. One will only find death. I wasn't really listening. I kept on playing with the idea that the dry meat may have been the agent that had caused the hallucinations. It appeased me to indulge in that thought. "Don't tax yourself trying to figure it out," he said, as if he were reading my thoughts. "The world is a mystery. This, what you're looking at, is not all there is to it. There's much more to the world, so much more, in fact, that it's endless. So when you're trying to figure it out, all you're really doing is trying to make the world familiar. You and I are right here, in the world that you call real, simply because we both know it. You don't know the world of power. Therefore, you can't make it into a familiar scene. You know that I really can't argue your point, I said, but my mind can't accept it either. He laughed and touched my head lightly. You're really crazy, he said, but that's all right. I know how difficult it is to live like a warrior. If you would have followed my instructions and performed all the acts I've taught you, you would by now have enough power to cross the bridge. Enough power to see and to stop the world. But why would I want power, Don Juan? You can't think of a reason now. However, if you would store enough power, the power itself will find you a good reason. Sounds crazy, doesn't it? Why did you want power yourself, Don Juan? I'm like you. I didn't want it. I couldn't find a reason to have it. I had all the doubts that you have and never followed the instructions I was given, or I never thought I did. Yet in spite of my stupidity, I stored enough power, and one day, my personal power made the world collapse. But why would anyone wish to stop the world? Nobody does, that's the point. It just happens. And once you know what it's like to stop the world, you realize there is a reason for it. You see, one of the arts of the warrior is to collapse the world for a specific reason and then restore it again in order to keep on living. I told him that perhaps the surest way to help me would be to give me an example of a specific reason for collapsing the world. He remained silent for some time. He seemed to be thinking what to say. I can't tell you that, he said. It takes too much power to know that. Someday you'll live like a warrior, in spite of yourself. Then perhaps you'll have stored enough personal power to answer that question yourself. I've taught you nearly everything a warrior needs to know in order to start off in the world storing power by himself. Yet I know that you can't do that, and I have to be patient with you. I know for a fact that it takes a lifelong struggle to be by oneself in the world of power. Don Juan looked at the sky and the mountains. The sun was already on its descent towards the west, and rain clouds were rapidly forming on the mountains. I didn't know the time. I had forgotten to wind my watch. I asked if he could tell the time of day, and he had such an attack of laughter that he rolled off the slab into the bushes. He stood up and stretched his arms, yawning. "It's early," he said. "We must wait until the fog gathers on top of the mountain, and then you must stand alone on this slab and thank the fog for its favors. Let it come and envelop you. I'll be nearby to assist, if need be." Somehow, the prospect of staying alone in the fog terrified me. I felt idiotic for reacting in such an irrational manner. "You can't leave these desolate mountains without saying your thanks," he said in a firm tone. "A warrior never turns his back to power without atoning for the favors received." He lay down on his back with his hands behind his head and covered his face with his hat. "How should I wait for the fog?" I asked. "What should I do?" "Right," he said through his hat. "But don't close your eyes or turn your back to it." I tried to write, but I couldn't concentrate. I stood up and moved around restlessly. Don Juan lifted his hat and looked at me with an air of annoyance. "Sit down," he ordered me. He said that the battle of power had not yet ended, and that I had to teach my spirit to be impassive. Nothing of what I did should betray my feelings unless I wanted to remain trapped in those mountains. He sat up and moved his hand in a gesture of urgency. He said that I had to act as if nothing was out of the ordinary, because places of power, such as the one in which we were, had the potential of draining people who were disturbed, and thus one could develop strange and injurious ties with a locale. "Those ties anchor a man to a place of power, sometimes for a lifetime," he said. "And this isn't the place for you. You didn't find it yourself, so tighten your belt and don't lose your pants." His admonitions worked like a spell on me. I wrote for hours without interruption. Don Juan went back to sleep and didn't wake up until the fog was perhaps 100 yards away, descending from the top of the mountain. He stood up and examined the surroundings. I looked around without turning my back. The fog had already invaded the lowlands, descending from the mountains to my right. On my left side, the scenery was clear. The wind, however, seemed to be coming from my right and was pushing the fog into the lowlands, as if to surround us. Don Juan whispered that I should remain impassive, standing where I was without closing my eyes, and that I shouldn't turn around until I was completely surrounded by the fog. Only then was it possible to start our descent. He took cover at the foot of some rocks a few feet behind me. The silence in those mountains was something magnificent and at the same time awesome. The soft wind that was carrying the fog gave me the sensation that the fog was hissing in my ears. Big chunks of fog came downhill like solid clumps of whitish matter rolling down on me. I smelled the fog. It was a peculiar mixture of a pungent and fragrant smell, and then I was enveloped in it. I had the impression the fog was working on my eyelids. They felt heavy, and I wanted to close my eyes. I was cold. My throat itched, and I wanted to cough, but I didn't dare. I lifted my chin up and stretched my neck to ease the cough, and as I looked up, I had the sensation I could actually see the thickness of the fog bank. It was as if my eyes could assess the thickness by going through it. My eyes began to close, and I couldn't fight off the desire to fall asleep. I felt I was going to collapse on the ground any moment. At that instant, Don Juan jumped up and grabbed me by the arms and shook me. The jolt was enough to restore my lucidity. He whispered in my ear that I had to run downhill as fast as I could. He was going to follow behind, because he didn't want to get smashed by the rocks that I might turn over in my path. He said that I was the leader, since it was my battle of power, and that I had to be clear-headed and abandoned in order to guide us safely out of there. "This is it," he said in a loud voice. "If you don't have the mood of a warrior, we may never leave the fog." I hesitated for a moment. I wasn't sure I could find my way down from those mountains. "Run, rabbit, run!" Don Juan yelled and shoved me gently down the slope. 13.